Good afternoon. It is 1:30 p.m. at our normal start time, but it is the time. August 2nd, 2023. I call this meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. I'm the chairman, Randy Christman, joined by my fellow commissioners, Sherry Haugen-Hoffert and Julie Fedorchek. So we have a quorum. A couple of opening comments I want to make. Oh, will you please join me in pledging our allegiance to the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And a couple of opening comments. I was at the Bakken Cook Fest last week and the public information sessions or whatever they call them in the afternoon. I don't know if I just missed something. Apparently this has been going on a while and seemed to be known by a lot of people, but not me. There, and I got to get with Lynn Helms or one of those guys and understand what exactly this entails. But they are working on creating natural gas storage. When we've talked to our utilities, and especially after Storm Uri, and how, you know, fortunately MDU has quite a bit of natural storage, but XL is quite short. And, you know, I always associate with this just like the governor says about things, the geologic jackpot. They're doing something, working on creating gas storage. Now, I'm sure to a lot of them, it's about doing something with that natural gas other than flaring it and planning for better prices later. But in my mind, I'm just like, oh, this could be a big opportunity for natural gas company, distribution companies. So I thought that was quite interesting.
Where are they?
I don't know how, but they were looking somewhere more in the core of it, and he didn't say the distance, but he said now they're looking at a spot south and east of Kildare, but like, is that a mile or 50 miles? I don't know. Then the other thing, just I heard about it last night, and it was in the papers this morning, and I don't want to quote any. Most of these comments seem to be attributed to Mayor Mahoney in Fargo, but not necessarily direct quotes. But per the report, Fargo raised their franchise fee yesterday on the utility companies. It was reported out yesterday. I don't know when they exactly did it. Went from 2% to 4%. They have needs for the city, and among some other smaller things, they're raising property taxes $1.5 million and franchise fees $5.5 million, according to the report. Going from 2% to 4% on these franchise fees. And then here was the part that bothered me, and I say this not as a criticism, it's done, but I wish people in a situation like that, looking at a franchise fee, would reach out to us or our staff. And based on this report, I don't feel like they totally understand all the things that we probably have developed an understanding of over the years doing rate cases. It was kind of spread out that apartments and small homes, it'll be about $36 a year. Family homes, about $60. Large residence is 120. As if there's just a equation, and however many square feet your house is, if it's twice as big as the other one, your utility bills must be twice as much. No consideration to the fact that when they're figuring out how this $5.5 million is going to be spread around, let's face it, a lot of those large residence owners in the winter when the gas bills are high on the small apartments and homes. They're in Arizona or Texas at their winter home. Their thermostat's turned way down. They also have the most efficient furnaces and windows and doors and insulation. it's not as simple as this. And I really fear that much more of this is going to end up being paid by the most economically disadvantaged in Fargo than what they're thinking. And so just thought I should mention that. Commissioner Haugenhofer?
Thanks, Commissioner Christman. I have a couple of things. Last Friday was 811 Call Before You Dig at the North Dakota State Fair, and the Public Service Commission had a booth up there. I want to thank Conrad and Stacy and Commissioner Christman and myself were up there promoting Call Before You Dig. I think it was well attended, and I have to say I have a couple takeaways. Number one, I was really impressed with the younger generation that when they would come to our booth and ask us questions, they had a question they had to ask us to get like another door prize. And their question was, how many complaints, one call complaints, did the North Dakota Public Service Commission receive in 2022? Instead of just giving them the answer, we asked them, do you know what it means, what 811 Call Before You Dig is? And I was impressed with the amount of especially younger generation people in grade school, junior high, knew what it was. Call before you dig in your backyard was a common question of response. So I was very impressed with that and asking questions. So we're doing a good job on educating people out there on call before you dig. They were shocked in the response to the answers when we would ask them, how many do you think complaints do we get? And their response would be thousands. So if it's thousands, legislators, we're prompting you right now, we're putting you on notice that we need a lot more staff to investigate that. But the answer was 15. And so that it was a good opportunity. I'm glad we participate in other people are up there educating people on call before you dig. So that was very good. And again, I can't thank Conrad and Stacy and Randy enough for coming up there and helping educate the people who were at the North Dakota State Fair. The other thing I want to acknowledge is I had the opportunity last Wednesday to attend the celebration of life for officer that was killed in the line of duty in Fargo. I know I can speak on behalf of the commission and our staff and citizens of North Dakota. Our deepest sympathy goes out to them and the family, but also to the brotherhood of law enforcement that lost a brother. So I was honored to be there and pay the respects to the officer. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for going down for that. And also, on the 811 booth, I thought Stacy and Conrad did an excellent job of getting up there early and getting us a good spot in that tent and getting our signage arranged nicely.
Correction for the record, Mr. Crispin, I was up there first.
Oh.
And just kidding.
I know you were there before me. Commissioner Fedorchak.
Thank you both for those interesting updates. Randy, you mentioned the storage issue, the gas storage issue, the need for that, and that triggered in my mind a comment about the so after Storm Uri, FERC, everyone turned to FERC and said, geez, we got to do something about this, prevent this from happening. There was a big investigation done, and there was a whole bunch of recommendations made. And one of the recommendations was that they convene some sort of a FERC task force to study the need for better coordination between the natural gas and electric industries. So for the last year, a group working under the auspices of NAESB, which is the North American Energy Standards Board, has been holding forums several times a month for the last year. I've participated in a couple of them. on this issue, trying to get information from both the gas and the electric industries to identify some solutions for, you know, better coordinating the markets, the systems, aligning them in ways that better prepare us for the significant dependence that the electric generation industry is setting up on the natural gas industry. And so that last Friday, they completed their final and filed with FERC their final report. And there's 20 recommendations on that report. I do think it'll, you know, at some point I maybe want to have us do sort of a work session on just that report to better understand it together, talk about it with staff, see how we might in our various roles be able to advocate for things through SPP, through MISO, through our roles at NARUC, and just here at the commission working with our utilities. But I know that one of the recommendations is the creation of more storage. And so that's a direct tie to what you said is happening with our oil and gas division, which I hadn't heard about actually either. And then secondly, one of the recommendations, in addition to the 20 that there are included as part of the official report from information that the industry sector folks provided, the three people who co-chaired this event or this process also separately made another recommendation to FERC that a reliability organization similar to NERC be created for the gas industry. So it's a really interesting report. I hope that it has legs and gets some action in my roles, both at NARUC and through MISO. I intend to refer to it often and do whatever I can to help ensure that it isn't one of those reports like the one completed in 2011 that just collects dust and doesn't get implemented until, you know, down the road there's some terrible disaster that could have been avoided, like we know Storm Uri could have been if the recommendations from the 2011 similar report had been implemented. So we can look forward to having maybe one of the members of that board that did the work present to us in the future. I'll reach out to him and see if he'd be willing to do that. So with that, it's all for me.
I didn't know that that report was out. I've been kind of waiting on it. We talk about it a fair amount at SPP, and I've been curious because it just, I mean, it's so important because that's such a big part of the equation, and yet it's kind of a marriage of the most diverse groups. You know, you got this electric utility industry that has a century of pretty heavy regulation and in many cases monopoly service territories, and then you have, you know, the wildcat oil and gas people, and, you know, especially the Oklahomans and New Mexicans and Texans I talked to down there. They think about regulation and telling them how to handle their gas sales and requirements and stuff. So I'm curious to read that, so thank you.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it's implemented. Some things have broad support, and some people with two sectors have very diverging opinions.
Yes. Okay, so we have 8 items on the consent calendar. I move approval of those plus the previous minutes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Mr. Haugenhoffert, I'll turn it over to you for your portfolio.
Thank you. Believing that there will be no prejudice to the rights of the parties or the public interest in finding the cases involve similar questions of law or fact, I move the Commission consolidate these cases for hearing under North Dakota Administrative Code Section 69-02-04-04 and issue a notice of opportunity for consolidated hearing in Northern Plains Electric Co-op, City of Mattock, North Dakota, Service Area Agreement, Case Number PU-23-244, and Northern Plains Electric Cooperative, Mattock, North Dakota, Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU-23-262. I further move the commission assess an application fee of $10,000 in Northern Plains Electric Cooperative, Mattock, North Dakota, Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU-23-262.
Second.
Thank you. On June 26, 2023, Northern Plains Electric Cooperative and the City of Mattock filed a joint application for approval of a service area agreement to designate service locations to be served by Northern Plains Electric Cooperative and the City of Mattock within and around the City of Mattock, North Dakota. The issues to be considered in this proceeding are whether the service area agreement complies with the North Dakota Century Code Section 49-03-06, and number two, whether approval of the service area agreement and resulting certificate of public convenience and necessity is compatible with the public interest. So those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reason for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for a hearing must be received by September 15, 2023. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission reduce the application fee to $10,000 and issue a notice of opportunity of hearing in Northern States Power Company 2022 Power Purchase Agreement Cost Compliance, case number PU-23-261.
Second.
Thank you. On July 3rd, Northern States Power Company filed a compliance filing in accordance with Section IB1 of the Comprehensive Settlement Agreement in case number PU-12-813. That section requires NSP to annually file a list of new power purchase agreements less than 50 megawatts in size that have been included in Northern States Power Company Fuel Cost Recovery Rider during the previous year. So the issues to be considered in this proceeding are the purchase power agreements, the lease cost resources, and number two, is there other relevant information the commission should consider? So those interested are invited to comment on the filing in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for the hearing must be received by September 15, 2023. If deemed appropriate, the commissioner can determine the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission suspend the rates, reduce the application fee to $10,000, and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Company Transmission Facility Cost Recovery Rates, number PU-23-268.
Second.
Thank you. On July 14th of this year, MDU filed a change to its transmission cost adjustment rates to reflect updated electric transmission revenues and costs. The effective of the rate change on the bill for a residential customer using 800 kilowatt per hour per month is a decrease of $4.70 per month or $56.40 per year. The issues to be considered in this proceeding are, do the investments and associated costs for the new and modified electric transmission facilities qualify for recovery? Do the proposed rates comply with the tariff, and are the proposed rates just and reasonable? Again, those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. If a person wants a hearing, they must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceedings and the reasons why, and comments and requests must be received by September 15th, 2023.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That ends my portfolio.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
Thank you, Chair Crispin. I move the commission issue a notice of filing and notice of opportunity for hearing in Otter Tail Power Company Ashtabula 1 Wind Upgrade Project, Barnes County Siting Application Case Number PU-23-252.
Second.
So in 2009, the commission issued a findings, fact, conclusions, law, order transferring ownership of 48 megawatts of a 200 megawatt Ashtabula Wind Farm to Otter Tail Power Corporation. And in June of this year, Otter Tail filed an application to amend that certificate in order to repower the existing 32 turbines with a upgraded 1.6 megawatt, 91 meter rotor diameter blades, hubs, and gearboxes set up. And so Otter Tail's in the process of repowering, I think, three of their facilities. This is the second one. I think we have another one. Yeah, the second and third one are on the agenda today. We have an open case with Laverne, which is, we've already had an informal hearing on that one. And so comments and requests for hearings on this project must be received by September 15th. And if deemed appropriate, we can determine the matter without a hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Chair Crisman and Commissioner Haugenhofer, would you object if I took JF3 next, just to keep it kind of in line?
Please do.
Okay. So this is JF3. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Otter Tail Power Company Ashtabula 3 Wind Upgrade Project, Barnes County Siting Exclusion Certificate, case number PU-23-256.
Second.
So on June 29th of this year, Otter Tail filed a certificate to repower the 43 existing 1.6 GE 82.5 meter rotor diameter blades, hubs, and gearboxes with 1.6 megawatt GE 91 meter rotor blades, hubs, and gearboxes on this facility, the Ashtabula Wind Energy Conversion Facility, which is 69 megawatts in Barnes County. The changes to the site resulting from the repowering of the facilities are likely to change the impacts of the facilities. And as a result, the commission finds it's prudent to issue a notice of opportunity for hearing to ensure continued minimal adverse effects on the environment upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota. And so anyone interested in commenting or requesting a hearing must also do so for this one by September 15th, the same time that the deadline is for Ashtabula 1. So Ashtabula 1 and 3 comments and requests for hearing are due September 15th.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I think we're really going to be busy by September 15th.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and now just jumping back to JF2, I move the commission assess an application fee of $20,000 and issue a notice of filings and notice of opportunity for hearing and to Tesoro Great Plains Gathering and Marketing LLC, 2.4-mile renewable diesel pipeline, Stark County Siting Application Case Number PU-23-255.
Second.
So on June 29th of this year, Tesoro Great Plains Gathering and Marketing LLC filed an application for a certificate of corridor compatibility route permit for an approximately 2.4-mile renewable diesel pipeline located in Stark County. That pipeline is an existing pipeline, and they are proposing to convert it to a renewable diesel pipeline. What's interesting about this case is last summer, the company applied to us for a, what do they want to call it? a waiver. Let's see. They asked for a waiver to allow them to begin operating temporarily that pipeline as a renewable diesel pipeline because it's shorter in distance from the two locations that they're transferring this product to use it. And it was an existing line that had basically been out of use. And so they reconfigured it, opened it back up, did all that testing, et cetera. And we did approve them to use it and required that they apply for permanent siting application and permit by August of this year, which they did. They apply by the end of June. And so now we'll, through this application, be looking at that facility more closely and how it was originally constructed, et cetera, and its existing footprint, and looking at granting them a permanent corridor certificate and route permit. So that's what this is all about. And let's see, I think this too is a notice of filing and notice of opportunity for hearing. So if anybody has comments or requests for hearing on this project, they must also be received by September 15th.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Well, that concludes our agenda items. A few announcements. Next Thursday, a week from today, we have our rail service and safety stakeholders discussion. In the past, we've usually had a pretty good crowd for that and some interesting dialogue. The following Tuesday, we will have XL in for their annual report on emerging threats and security measures. And then doing the same thing on August 16th with Otter Tail and on August 29th with MDU. So that will be an interesting series of reports. And our next regular commission meeting is Wednesday, August 16th at 10 o'clock. That is it for the announcements. With that, we'll stand in recess and take questions from the press. And after that, we'll take about just a quick five-minute break, and then we'll reconvene for the administrative portion of the meeting.